Tonight, James farts through his brain, Mike loses all of his shit, and we get married in Alabama.
As always, I am James from SherrellePunk.com.
And this is the Couch Potato Mike. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Wonderful, Senor Potato. My mouth is being a little wonky, though.
Why, what's wrong with your mouse? You double-clicked it too much, didn't you?
No. There we go. I'm just trying to bring up everything and do the hoodly-doodly.
So, how's your week been going?
Not too bad, I don't think. Fairly decent. I feel like I slept on a rock. I need to start bringing my hammock over. I built one of your sons a hammock yesterday, because he didn't have a hammock. And I've got a new hammock for myself on the way for review.
Sweet.
Which takes my total number of hammocks up to possibly 4.
Good God, man.
Yeah, so I might be doing a hammock giveaway just because, I use one hammock as my couch in my living room, the Trek Light hammock, my favorite. My Hennessy hammock will not be given away because it is a $200 hammock.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got 2 other hammocks that, there were free hammocks for review, so, you know, I have a lot of things for review that I've got for free that kind of suck up space after I review them. I mean, they're good things. Some of the things are valued treasures I put in my, you know, my bug out bags, which we'll be talking about later, or, just survival gear. And then other things are like, I've got I don't need 4 hammocks. I really don't. So I may give away some or, whatever. Yeah, I'll give them away.
Well, it's always good to have backups.
Yeah, but, I mean, 4 is too many.
But 1 is the loneliest number.
1 is none, 2 is 1, 3's for me, 4, I don't know. I forget the rest. Steve and Harris went up to like 7 or something. 7 is heaven.
Oh, Lord.
It's, yeah, prepper, like, it's talk for, having backups. So anyway, how's your week been?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, it's...
That meh?
Yeah, it's... Parts of it have been kind of boring. Other parts of it have been kind of interesting. I mean, I got a 3-day weekend last week because, you know, we got off for Memorial Day, and then I had to go to court. And found out that's going to be the last time I have to go to court for the specific thing I got to go to court for. No.
The time you shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to quit doing that.
You do.
Yeah. Especially in, you know, when I'm not in Nevada. It's hard to do that when you're not in Nevada.
Mike has a really big gun that holds 1 bullet.
I need a really big gun that holds a lot of bullets. Well, God bless you, sir.
If you know what that comes from, send me an email at jamesfromallpunk.com and I'll send you a patch. Not you, Jeff Radke. Anyone else but you.
Yeah. You guys out there, you can do it. Not Jeff Radke.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I remembered. So there's a guy at work that listens to the podcast, Ian, and I told him I'd give him a shout out in a podcast because he was bitching about there not being a podcast last week. We didn't get around to it. So,
I'm sorry, Ian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry that our free fucking show is not available often enough for you.
Good one. Yeah. I told him I was going to tell him to stop eating brownies. You brownie meister. Anyway, what do we got coming up this week?
Coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking about ICP fans being labeled as a criminal organization by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The Alabama Senate passes a bill to nullify all sides of marriage, and we'll get into what that actually means here in a little bit. And our main topic is going to be today on Bob's. And no, we're not talking about your battery-operated boyfriends. We mean your bug-out bags. And we're going to be reviewing the Paleo Simplified Energy Bars on our Gadget Punk segment. But before we get into that, we need to take a break for a few words from our sponsors. Tell them about our sponsors. Thank you, Mike. JMBullion.com for all your gold and silver needs. It's a great monetary hedge against inflation and a great place to get the currency of the new world. Free shipping on all orders, $100 or more. JMBullion.com or go to SurvivalPunk.com and click the little box on the banner on the right-hand side, where you'll also find CampingSurvival.com for all your bug-in and bug-out needs. Great place to get the bug-out bags we'll be talking about later, and a great place to get fish antibiotics, just like human antibiotics, but they make you crave food in flake form. CampingSurvival.com. Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee, the greatest cup of coffee on this side or that side of the planet.
I just knocked back one with coconut oil and some regular milk. There is no heavy cream at Mike's house.
Proceeds go to help a local orphanage, and they actually pay their workers a fair wage. Comes in a variety of different flavors. My main man over here and really enjoys the Mexicali, but all of their flavors, including their beautiful, beautiful espresso. What is that in stuff in there?
What?
Espresso. Is that espresso?
It is, yeah, espresso roast.
It's really fucking good.
It is.
Yeah. Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee and WellFoodCo.com, home of the Carne Bar and inventor of the Paleo MRE.
Nom nom.
Nom nom.
Oh, I saw a patch on this patch club on the internet. So, like, people that are into tactical things are really into patches. And there was a stupid-looking bear surrounded by a bunch of ramen noodles sucking up the noodle. And it said, "Nom nom, desu ka?" Which is Japanese for, "Isn't it so?"
I don't understand that.
Nom nom, isn't it delicious?
Oh.
Nom nom, desu ga?
If you say so.
I speak like four things in Japanese.
But if you'd like to get with any of our sponsors, just click on the banner on the right-hand side of SurvivalPunk.com. And while you're clicking around the internet, check out greeningout.co.uk or greeningout.com for anarchy and libertarianism with a Scottish accent. Go listen to a couple of great friends of the show where they have talks about things.
Random things. It started out as like a libertarian podcast. And then they got kind of bored with, you know, just being sort of pigeonholed into one particular thing at one time. So they're like, ah, fuck it. We're going to talk about whatever we fucking feel like. Whatever we fucking feel like it. So, actually, I really need to get with them. Like, I had an idea to exchange intros where, like, we would, like, record an intro and send it to them. Like, this is James and Couch Potato Mac from the Surreal Punk Podcast where we talk about blah, 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 blah. Oh now God. Back to you, Dad and Katie, and then have Dad and Katie give one like.
I know how I'd want to record there. Aye, lads and lassies, get ready for the greening up podcast.
Oh my God, yeah. I definitely want Dan. Like, I would want Katie to talk about it because Katie has a really good like radio kind of voice, and then at the end, Dan just screams something awesome.
Yeah, because you know she doesn't really let him talk.
Yes.
He says that like, no, Dan, you don't do it that way.
Yeah. Poor Dan.
Go eat some watermelon.
What? Oh, my God. Ah! On to the show!
Let's get right into our first news story.
That may be the cutest non-fat juggalette I've ever seen, dude.
You know you want to see her on the clock.
Oh, yeah.
Giggity, giggity. Anyway, the ICP fans, a.k.a. Juggalos, have now been labeled as criminals, a criminal organization by the FBI.
Yeah. Let's tell them about it. I've seen this listed as like the Southern Poverty Center labeled them as a hate group. So let's just read this story from thefreeproject.com. Oh, Montgomery, Alabama. A state which spoofed the New York Times claimed that the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, announced that extreme fans of the rap group Insane Clown Posse, known as Juggalos, would be labeled as recognized hate groups in 17 states. A Juggalo, male, or a Juggalette, female. I was like, Juggalette, a fat girl that sits in the back of your car drinking Faygo. Anyway, female, is the label given to fans of the rap group Insane Clown Posse, commonly referred to as ICP.
Send your mama straight up to the stove, tell that bitch to bring home a fago.
While the SPLC never actually called ICP fans a hate group, they are classified as a gang by the FBI.
Gang.
As ridiculous as it sounds, the Juggalos were classified by the FBI in 2011 as a criminal organization. ICP sued the FBI regarding the classification, but lost the lawsuit. It must be noted that no organized crime specialists we spoke with relayed the Free Thought Project the potential threat of a Juggalo violence as being a priority in their city.
They probably talked to Tila Tequila. According to the FBI's website, the Juggalos, a loosely organized hybrid gang, are rapidly expanding into many U.S. communities. Although recognized as a gang in only 4 states, many Juggalo subsets exhibit gang-like behavior and engage in criminal activity and violence. Law enforcement officials in at least 21 states have identified criminal Juggalo subsets, according to the NGIC reporting. NGIC reporting indicates that Juggalo gangs are expanding in New Mexico, primarily because they are attracted to the tribal and cultural traditions of the Native Americans residing nearby.
Interesting.
Most crimes committed by Juggalos are sporadic, disorganized, individualistic, and often involve simple assault, personal drug use and possession, petty theft, and vandalism. However, open source reporting suggests that a small number of Juggalos are forming more organized subsets and engaging in more gang-like criminal activities such as felony assaults, thefts, robberies, and drug sales. Social networking websites are popular conveyance for Juggalo subculture to communicate and expand. By the same logic of grouping an entire fan base into a gang classification, one could argue that since some people commit violence with a New York Giants jersey on, that all Giants fans are a gang. This is a level of absurdity to which our government has risen. They have criminalized an entire fan base with a blanket label over anyone displaying typical, rabid, fantastic, fanatic behavior, hence the term fan, short for fanatic. The My fellow Americans.
You're ghettoizing things.
The amplification that any of the aforementioned features have anything to do with gang, organized crime membership, or being part of a hate group is patently ludicrous.
If someone engages in illegal behavior, perhaps they deserve to be held accountable for that action. The idea that we can judge and classify a group of people based on a few arbitrary stylistic details is completely unjust and should be shunned societally. When we start criminalizing entire groups of musical fans rather than identify and punish specific deserving individuals, we tread dangerously close to the fascist state that we are. Dun dun dun. Update: this article has an update to reflect the fake New York Times article on the SPLC. Blah 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 comes from thefreeproject.com. I thought this would be funny to talk about because me and Mike, we're not exactly Juggalos, but we are fans of the ICP.
Will the KISS Army now be categorized as a terrorist cell?
I'm sure they are. I mean, at times in the past, me and Mike have consumed Faygo, it is true, and we have listened to the ICP.
I one time consumed a 2-liter of Faygo that had been under my car, back seat of my car for at least 9 months. Not to mention I was sick as a dog for the following week and throwing up everything I ate.
Yeah, I'm sure that would give you much street cred. Like, you could probably have a harem of Juggalettes just for that feat of incredulity. Incredulity.
We can't speak English this morning.
Obviously, we just need to stop the podcast. We can't talk anymore.
We're just adding syllables into things.
Yes.
Sounding like fucking George W.
Yeah, I mean...
But that's prejudice right there. I mean, what they basically described right there. If someone engages in illegal blah, 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 where the hell was it? Okay, the idea that we can judge and classify a group of people based on a few arbitrary stylistic details is completely unjust and should be shown to societal blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's prejudice right there.
Yeah,
That is prejudging a group of people based on their appearance and activities. You mean like if they have dark skin?
Yeah.
Or in this case, white skin with dark patches on it and drink Faygo.
Yeah, exactly.
And call everybody motherfucker.
I also thought it was funny that this, it would pretty much put me on every single government hate and watch list there is. Like, I think I fall across them all.
I mean, there's been times in my life where I can actually be called a juggalo.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been to a gathering of the juggalos or anything, but I have sported the face makeup on more than one occasion.
You know what? And if someone was like, hey, I will drive you and give you free tickets to go to a gathering of the juggalos, I'd probably go. Like, I remember in high school, I actually went to high school one day on Halloween dressed up as Violent J.
Dude, two or possibly three Halloweens ago, me and a buddy of mine named Roy walked the streets dressed as Violent J and Shaggy 2-Dope. I was obviously Violent J.
So obviously we are in another hate group at this point. I mean,
yeah, pretty
we're
much.
We're self-denying juggalos.
Yep. As far as having a classified fucking FBI hate group, Violent Hippies.
Yeah, there's totally a file on us. I think it's stupid, and I think it's funny, and I thought it'd be fun to talk about.
Hey, you guys in the federal government. Shout out to Ralph. We love you, bro.
Yeah, Ralph. Ralph's our government insider that listens to everything we say and do, yeah, and has a giant folder on us.
Yeah, he was assigned to listen to us, our phone calls and stuff years ago.
Yeah, because every time I'm on the phone with Mike, I like to drop down, like, bombs and terrorists and, I don't know, whatever trigger words I can find. So
terrorist cells, 9/11, ooh, yeah. Al-Qaeda.
Mike's like, shut up, you're going to get us bombed. They're going to drone us one day.
Beards and turbans and baskets. Full
coming
of
from deep underground in our drone-free pod studio. Anyway, that's funny. Let's move along to the next one, which is more real and not as funny, but still good nonetheless.
The Alabama Senate passes a bill to effectively nullify all sides on marriage. From Montgomery, Alabama, May 23rd, 2015, this week, the Alabama State Senate passed a bill that would end the practice of licensing marriages in the state, effectively nullifying both major sides of the contentious national debate over government-sanctioned marriage. Introduced by Senator George Albritton, Republican Bay Minette, Senate Bill 377, SB 377, would end state-issued marriage licenses while providing marriage contracts as an alternative. It passed the Alabama State Senate by a 22-3 margin on May the 19th. When you invite the state into those matters of personal and religious import, it creates difficulties, duh.
Yeah.
Senator Albritton said about his bill in April. Go back long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, early 20th century. If you go back and look and try to find marriage licenses for your grandparents, your great-grandparents, you won't find it. What you would find instead is where people have come in and recorded recorded when a marriage has occurred.
A bill would replace all references to marriage licenses in state law with contracts. The legislation would not invalidate any marriage license issue prior to the bill being passed. The contract shall be filed in the office of the judge of probate in each county and shall constitute a legal record of the marriage. A copy of the contract shall be transmitted to the Office of Vital Statistics of the Department of Public Health and made part of its record. Effective July 1st, 2015, any requirement to obtain a marriage license issued by the judge of probate is abolished and repealed. Practical effect. SB 377 would accomplish two things. First, it would render void the edicts of the federal judges that have overturned state laws defining marriage. The founding generation never envisioned unneglected judges issuing ex cathedra pronouncements regarding the definition of social institutions like marriage, and the constitutional delegates of the federal judiciary no authority to meddle in issues. That was a really long sentence. I don't like it. Marriage is a realm clearly left to the state and the people. Second, the bill would get the state government out of defining marriage entirely as well. Thank God. Ending the squabble between factions that seek to harness the power of the state, thereby taking the burden off government officials who may be torn between what is legally required of them and their religious convictions. The intent or motives behind the bill are not a moot point. By removing the state from the equation, no one can force another to accept their marriage, nor can they force another to reject that person's own beliefs regarding an institution older than the government. Licenses, bleh, are used as a way to stop the people from doing things, said Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center. I like that guy, by the way. My personal relationship would not be subject to the government permission.
Historical backdrop.
How long is this damn article?
Oh, let's scan. Oh, we're almost through it.
Yeah, might as well finish it.
As the 2007 New York Times op-ed points out, for centuries marriage was a private affair. For most of the Western history, they didn't, because marriage was a private contract between two families. The parents' agreement to the match, not the approval of church and state, was what confirmed its validity. For 16 centuries, Christianity also defined the validity of the marriage on the basis of the couple's wishes. If two people claimed that they had exchanged marital vows, even out alone by the haystack, the Catholic Church accepted that they were validly married. In fact, the use of state marriage licenses for many years was a way of preventing people from entering into interracial marriages.
Nice.
Later, the NYT story recounts the licenses became necessary in order to subsidize the welfare state. The Social Security Act provided survivors benefits with proof of marriage. Employers used marital status to determine whether they would provide health insurance or pension benefits to employees' dependents. Courts and hospitals required a marriage license before granting couples the privilege of inheriting from each other or receiving medical information.
Something that is rarely considered by those seeking to control the state's definition of marriage is that marriage license means a citizen requires the permission of their government before they can get married. Ah! A person cannot drive a vehicle, aside from limited circumstances, without a license. I.e. on your own property without getting on federally made roads.
Yep.
A person cannot practice law without a license, nor can they engage in medical care. Put another way, marriage is not a right or a religious institution, but a privilege the state grants us if we meet the conditions put upon us. I've got an idea on that. Consider this. In the same way a driver can lose their license if they break certain traffic laws, a man or woman theoretically could one day find their marriage license revoked for breaking certain marriage rules, whether it pertains to child rearing or religious and political convictions. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so before we even get into that, I had a thought recently.
Mm-hmm.
That, marriages are licenses and stuff, so if you get married without a license, you be held accountable? Like, technically you're breaking a law because you're required to have a marriage license. I.e., if you drive on the road without a license, you can go to jail.
Right.
You can go to jail. They can take your freedom from you. So if you get married without a license, can the government come to you and say, no, you've got to get this license? No, fuck off, government. No, get this license. No, fuck you, government. Fine, we're going to throw you in jail.
Well, I've never heard of anybody actually being arrested for being married without a license. I mean, hell, in some states, you can actually
become common law marriage.
Yeah, you can actually have the common law marriage where, hell, you just live with each other and act as a fucking married couple for long enough, you basically become a legally married couple with full benefits to each other.
Exactly. So that was where I was going with that. I've never, ever heard of anyone breaking the marriage law, therefore going to jail for it. So why do people give a fuck about it? Just say you're fucking married. I don't need to ask the government for permission. And that brings me to my bigger point. Let me sidetrack for a moment to lay down some groundwork from where I'm going with this. A friend of mine, lesbian, she's a lesbian. She's in a lesbian relationship. She works for a food bank. Nice girl, you know. I'm good friends with her. So she put out this news article how. Somewhere. France. France passed a law recently requiring stores to not have any food waste. I.e., you know how sometimes food expires, so they throw it away?
Yeah.
That's no longer, the food has to be like donated or given away. You cannot have any food waste anymore. To which I'm sure the government's gonna fuck up and it's gonna be a bad thing. Because that's what the government always does. Yeah. My point was, and she was like, you know, yay, go France, you're doing that. I responded with, Walmart has done that for years. They donate, like, all the dry goods all of the meat. If some meat happens to go bad without without being donated, it's sent to a company that uses it to make cosmetics. You know, instead of killing animals, we already they have already dead animals that would have gone to waste anyway. If some produce happens to get too bad and can't be donated, it's then composted and sold to a compost company to then fertilize gardens.
Okay.
So, and I would say a good 80% of all food, especially dry goods, dry grocery, is donated to the Second Harvest Food Bank here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
And she was like, well, yeah, that's true, but it's not a law. And my mind just broke. I'm like, it doesn't need to be a fucking law. They're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the government gets involved, they'll get fucked up. Like, literally. Wait,
she shot in the face of all that because it's not a law?
Yes. Yes. I mean.
Oh, it doesn't count because it's not in the legal books?
Liberals need the government to tell them what they can and can't do. That's why this whole fucking, there's no law granting you permission to get married doesn't matter because you do it anyway.
Walmart's one of the largest fucking organizations on the fucking planet, and because it's not a fucking law.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry, your fucking friend is fucking stupid.
It's a little ridiculous, and I was just like, I got nothing to say because you just can't even understand what I'm saying here. I mean,
does she listen to our podcast?
No, I'm sure she doesn't. I mean, she's read the blog a few times. I'm sure she doesn't listen.
Well, if she does listen to the podcast, you're fucking dumb.
Yeah, it's. I just was like,
take it from a couch potato that knows these things.
Yeah. I mean, it's just,
I was wondering where this was going and what that had to do with fucking marriage contracts and Alabama.
Asking for permission. Like, in New York, there are people that can't donate food to homeless people without going through a certified donation facility. You and me can't take food to homeless people. It's against the law. We can go to jail for it.
We can go to jail for walking up to a homeless guy in the street and handing him a hamburger?
Yep.
Oh, that's bullshit.
It's like
that stupid goddamn fucking law. It's illegal to fucking feed other people's parking meters. Like, if you see a parking meter about to expire, and you have a quarter in your pocket, and you just want to do a charitable thing and help this poor guy out, so you put a quarter in the meter, fucking parking meter reader comes by and sees that, writes your fucking ticket for God only knows what exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah. So back to marriage, this is the best solution I've seen to it, and one that I feel should be getting the most press, but people that support gay marriage don't even give a shit about this.
Well, I noticed it didn't even say anything about gay marriage in the article, so I mean, will they still recognize a marriage contract between two
men?
Yes. They will?
The government, it's now a contract between two people, therefore it doesn't matter. It doesn't, I mean, it's a contract between two people, so I guess technically I couldn't go marry a llama in Alabama, whatever. But two consenting people that want to enter into a contract, so if you're legally entitled to enter in a contract, i.e. consenting adults, you can enter into a contract for this.
You sounded a little bit too disappointed about not being able to marry a llama in Alabama.
Llamas are sexy, my friend. Anyway.
They spit, damn it.
Yeah.
That's not sexy.
Would you prefer them to swallow? The dump ching. Yeah. I mean, I share this saying that this is the best solution because someone in, Ireland, I think. Ireland, as an entire country, passed gay marriage. Yeah. And everyone's sharing that around. Like, all my friends that are, you know, either gay or support gay marriage are like, yes, Ireland's doing it right.
Yeah,
I share this. Not a single motherfucker that's gay gives a shit about it.
And that does effectively answer the age-old question. It's not a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of red-headed queers.
I just, yeah, because they're not specifically getting permission from the government, their minds just can't wrap around it.
Oh my God.
There's not a law for it. There's not a law specifically saying you can do it. Therefore, they're like, fuck it. That's just, what a dumb concept. Like, I need permission for the government to do anything. I don't want permission for the government to do jack shit. I really nullify every damn thing and let me do what I want to do.
Yeah, the government's got way too much fucking power, which is probably another reason why they were on their watch lists.
Yeah, and the fact that I was a little surprised to see this was introduced by a Republican. Effectively granting gay marriage while at the same time appeasing everybody.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, one of the basics behind being a Republican is that you're for smaller government, for less
government control.
Well, theoretically, I mean, oh, God, we should get Todd on here to talk about this, but we don't have 5 hours.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, theoretically, they want smaller government, except for on the things that they want to oppose, i.e. abortion and gay marriage and marijuana.
Well, you know, I think there's enough smart Republicans out there that they can fucking push a little bit toward the middle without making it look like they're pushing toward the middle and get things done. I mean, not every politician out there is an evil prick. Just so many of them are, it's hard to tell which ones are
not.
Pretty
much. I mean, the system leads them to be evil
but
pricks.
But this motherfucker, Greg Allbritton, I mean, this is a brilliant fucking idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how anyone could really be pissed at this. I mean, technically, it's not a license, so you can't be pissed if you're a Christian and you think it's illegal and you think it should be bad. And if you're gay and you want to get married, you have the right to, so, it's...
And have you ever noticed that marriage licenses are like the one license that doesn't expire that you don't have to get renewed on a regular basis?
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm shocked by that, too. I mean, because you have to renew your driver's license, you have to renew your license plates, you have to renew fishing license, hunting license,
but
fucking conceal and carry licenses, you have to renew everything.
But they are not a federal granted license, they are a state license. Therefore, if you move to another state, your license may not be recognized by the state that you move to.
Well, just like in Texas, gay marriage is flat out illegal.
Right.
I mean, they went a step further. They're not just, oh, we're not going to legalize gay marriage. We're making it illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a fucking law on the books, like it's illegal to be, if you're two dudes, to be married to each other in Texas.
Yeah, so.
Which means that all you people that got married up in New England and whatever, don't go to Texas. You couldn't possibly get arrested.
I thought Texas only had steers and queers.
Yeah, but they're not allowed to marry each other.
Ah!
Only two things come out of Texas, steers and queers, and neither of those get married!
Oh my God. And on that bombshell...
It's time to end, so... Oh, wait.
Jump into our main topic for the day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, our main topic. Bobs.
Bug out bags. Yeah, bobs. In my attempt to bring the show more back in line with survival...
For all those people out there that gripe that we spent way too much time on nutrition.
Which is what I really dig, so, I mean, we'll have to do a nutrition different show.
Not that he doesn't dig survival.
I do. I just kind of go off on tangents of what I like at the moment and what draws me in. And the past couple episodes, it had been nutrition, so that's why there's no longer a Nutrition Punk Corner on the show, and why the shows will be more in line with survival and less on nutrition. And bug out bags. I was like, we've not had... I don't think in our 59 episodes we've ever done a bug out episode in its entirety.
Not in its entirety. I think we've talked about bug out bags.
I mean, I know we talked about everyday carry.
Right.
Like way back in like the early teens or so, but I don't think we've really tackled bug out bags. And you know, and you have a bug out bag. I gave you a bug out bag, and then you did the right thing, which was expand upon it and customize
I had to
it
actually,
and use it.
Yeah, I had to buy an entirely new bag because the stuff that... Oh my God, what the hell's wrong with my bug out bag zipper?
Can you follow it? Or is the zippers just came undone? Anyway.
What the fuck?
Maybe it's time to upgrade the bag. Actually, you know what? I may have a bag to gift you that actually goes on your shoulders.
Well, anyway, yeah. I always have my bug out bag. Right. Oh, God. It's gotten all wonky. The zipper's all stupid now.
Oh, well, come on. Back to the show.
I'm listening.
So, and you know... I started building bug-out bags when I first got... Because basically, what got me into survival was looking at pictures on a forum of bug-out bags.
Really? I thought it was zombies.
It was... Well, yeah. It was on the Zombie Squad forum. I came across a thread on bug-out bags. Like, there's a whole thread where people would, like, take pictures of bug-out bags, show what they have, the reasons behind what they have, and all their gear and their gear choices. And, dude, I was enthralled. Like,
really?
Look at some of these people's bug-out bags is, like, fucking great and insane. I spent hours on that forum just looking at the thread. There was one guy, and I think I'll look it up and link to it. This guy has the mother of all bug out bag threads. It's like several hundred pages long. And he's
wow.
Like, he's got like the most insane gear collection I've ever seen. And he's a gear whore. So like, gear snob. So he has like high end, great gear, like top of the line. And there's...
Top of the morning to you.
We'll get to like the different choices in bags. We'll get to the different choices and stuff. You know, I started out, and I feel that, you know, most people should start out with something more along the simple. Like I didn't start out with, you know, a high end military bag or, you know, a high end hiking bag. I had a backpack that I've had since high school. I started using that to carry my gear in. And I started filling it up and.
I mean, that's all you need to start off with. It's just something simple. I mean, a bug-out bag could literally be any fucking bag.
Yeah.
Then you just keep all of your stuff that you're ready to bug out in.
Yeah, and what I was going to say, you know, I started filling it with some good quality stuff, a little at a time, and some, you know, sort of second-tier quality stuff. It wasn't necessarily junk.
My canteen's missing.
Okay. Put your bug-out bag down. We'll get to it in a minute. You know, and I started upgrading stuff, and over the years, I upgraded, and then I had, like a lot of people, I had too many redundancies. I had too many extras, so I gave you a bug-out bag with sort of the, you know, original or second-tier stuff, which is still good stuff.
And I've been steadily improving on it.
And that's the thing, like, bug-out bags are not a set-and-forget thing. It's a build-upon philosophy, where I see a lot of people, They'll buy their bug out bag, you know, they'll get it filled with stuff, and they'll be in the original packages and containers, and they'll be in their bug out bag in their container, in their package, like, you know, sealed from the store.
Well, I just bought this.
Yeah. And they'll never try it. And that's wrong. I'm sorry. But if you have a bug out bag and you've never tested the equipment, it just sits there untested, you're wrong. Fucking wrong. You need to get out there and test it and try it and see what actually works. Like, for a while, he was doing that on, Lester Ab was doing on Survivor Man, where he'd take out survival gear he got from the store to see what actually worked and what didn't. There was a couple of surprises where he was like, I thought this would be bullshit, but it worked. And I thought this was like, you know, the fucking, like, Colgan survival saw, which is like two little, like, key rings and a little piece of wire, broke, was a piece of shit, didn't work. You look at it, that just didn't work. It was bad technology.
Well, him experimenting on one of his episodes where he was, I think it was in the Alaska coast or something like that. That's how I learned about fire pistons.
Yeah. Which, what was his success with it? Because I mean,
it was edited down, but he did actually get a fire started.
Yeah, because you got me a fire piston for Christmas, and I thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
That episode. But I am not a fan of a fire piston. I'm sorry. We tried it. I got like fucking like a bruise on the palm of my hand.
Well, I think he recommended it this way too. I wouldn't recommend it as your first line, but he was trying it out because he had bought it from a fucking place. But it is a great fucking thing to have if you run out of other fucking ways to start a fire.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't, I mean, it's renewable. Nothing wears out on it. I mean, that has, some of them have a little rubber ring or something like that.
Right.
Which, I mean, but the one I got you, I think, came
had
with
several.
Extras. Yeah, it had several. But basically, it just uses air friction to start a fire.
Yeah, I mean, just of the same principle that a diesel engine works with compression. So, compression's the air, which causes heat, you know, through friction and compression, which causes a tinder. So what they use and what they recommend is like char cloth, which is cloth, cotton cloth, 100% cotton cloth that has been burned with the absence of oxygen.
Yep.
Therefore, it becomes charcoal and will take a spark much easier and burn. But anyway, so let's tackle my basic philosophy. This may, you're like, oh, we should make a quick episode. I may rant a little long on this.
It's our main topic.
It's our main topic, and we are at 40 minutes, so, yeah. I build my bug-out bags and all of my kits, so my get-home bags, my whatever bags I'm building, even down to, like, an Altoid Tins kit.
Mm-hmm.
Every single kit I build, I try to build along one philosophy. And I got this from Dave Canterbury, and I thought it was the simplest, most effective philosophy for building any sort of a kit.
Okay.
And that's the 10 C's of survival. And hopefully, I can remember all 10.
Okay.
So it's broken down into two fives, really. You know, you have your first five, which is core. Every bug out bag, every kit I build has these 10. And then the second set of 10 is sort of like, maybe it's good. I don't always get the second set. So, number one, most important thing to have any sort of kit, any bug out bag, any survival kit you build, is some tool for cutting.
I was about to say cutting. Had to be cutting.
Yes, cutting. So it's 10 C's, yeah. So cutting. This is where you want to spend your most money and the highest quality that you can buy. I mean, hands down, there are some cheap survival knives. The Mora knives, that's what you have in your kit.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, because I think now you've upgraded to have a machete too, right?
Yeah, I've got a machete. It's not actually I keep it handy. Anyway. It's not in my bug-out bag, but it could easily fit in, especially in the bug-out bag I've got. Plus, I've got another larger knife in there.
Right. I mean, backups is always good. We should do an episode, actually, on big survival knives, because I'm a big fan of the big survival knife, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, cutting. It comes down to, this is your most important tool to effect survival. Most important. You can build everything else that you need in the 5Cs, in the 10Cs, really, with your cutting tool.
Right.
I mean, you can make cordage from stripping bark off of trees. You can make a container from cutting down, say, a bamboo tree or whatever, hauling it out. You can make everything else from your knife.
Yep.
But making a knife in the wild is the hardest.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, the invention of metal really advanced us as a people.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I mean, fucking stone cutware was not...
Yeah, refining stone and earth into fucking metal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not something easily done.
Yeah, I mean, or just using, like, finding the right kind of rocks in your area, like, specifically in Tennessee, finding, like, flint to make a sharp, you know, object with, mm-hmm. a knife. We don't have the lava flow to make a sharp like obsidian knife. We don't have that.
I mean, yeah, you'll find volcanic rocks and shit in Tennessee, but they're always like around a building or something.
Well, and those are the porous ones.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the sharp black ones that you find.
Yeah, no, those.
It's like glass. We don't have those.
No.
I mean, technically, there's enough trash around everywhere that you could find glass bottles and make small cutting tools, but
right. Like the lid off of a fucking, like, can of beans or something. Yeah, like,
I mean...
That. You can technically cut with that, but you try making a lean-to with that.
It's just a pain in the ass. So, number one is a knife. I've gone through several knives in the years of testing. Surprise, you know, and like I said, you kind of want to spend, you know, this is where you want to spend the bulk of your money. I mean, if you have one thing in your pack and it's a good quality survival knife, you're pretty good.
Not to be confused with, like, Rambo's survival knife.
Right. Don't get that because you're a dumb son of a bitch. Well, I mean, on the flip side, though, one time at a gun and knife show in Tennessee, the Bill Goodman gun and knife show, bring your friend, bring your whatever.
Bill Goodman's gun and knife
show. Yeah. At the fairgrounds, I bought what I thought was a World War II K-bar knife.
Okay.
Because I was like, how much do you want for that knife there, my good man? He was like, $25. So before he even finished speaking, I had $25 in my hand, in his face, like, gib. Because I thought it was a real K-bar. Later on, I noticed the Chinese stamp on it.
Oh, God.
So I thought, and it was a Tonto design. So at this point, I just became kind of pissed.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck you, Chinese K-Bar. And my goal for the next several, like, woods outings was to break this fucking knife. Uh-huh. I batoned it through fucking trees, dude.
Oh, my Lord.
I did everything I could to break this knife. It stayed sharp and did not break.
Wow.
Best $25 I've ever spent on a knife. Can't guarantee you'll find something like that. But, I mean, it just surprised me. Best $25, and it's good. It had like a maybe 8 or 9 inch long blade, mm-hmm. so it was good to baton through pretty good, you know, pieces of wood.
Okay.
But my main go-to survival knife is a Buck Hoodlum. I love it. It's big. It's strong. It cuts through everything. It stays sharp. It needs to be sharpened now, but I haven't sharpened it in like a year or two.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's good. I've heard some reports in colder climates that the marrow notch on the back of it can snap through the blade, breaking it in half. So, we don't really have extreme cold climates here in Tennessee, so I don't care about it. If you live in the northern climes, you might want to not get the Buck Hoodlum. You might want to go for a rat knife or something that's equally long.
You say we don't have extreme cold down here, yet you had to order snow chains.
I did, and even then, we were above 0 degrees, though.
I know, but the ice.
Icemageddon was terrible. So yeah, number one is your cutting tool. Number two, I mean, I place number two as being a container.
Hmm.
So, you know, like a Nalgene bottle, a cook pot, something to hold water in. And Dave Canterbury's rule, and one that I've. So I usually carry more than one container in my kits.
Right.
But I make sure that one of those containers is metal.
Uh-huh.
So that you can collect and boil water in that container. Therefore, you know, taking care of your cleansing and your decontamination of water.
Okay.
The word I wanted to use eludes me, but yeah. Yeah, boiling your water. So I have some stainless steel Nalgene bottles that I got on sale. Like, I was, someone posted a deal on the internet that Dick's Sporting Goods were selling these stainless steel Nalgene, like the Guy-Out bottles, for $4.99 a piece. Normally, like, God, $20 or something. So I'm like, that can't be real. So I drove to West Nashville where the Dick's Sporting Goods was at, and I found them on a clearance counter. I found two of them. So two of them were less than what one normally cost.
Mm-hmm.
Snatch them.
Sweet.
Yeah, I still have them. I mean, they're fucking indestructible. They're good to boil water in. They're good all around. You can do anything with them. So I like them. I usually will carry like a cook pot with me,
mm-hmm.
Of some kind. I mean, extra way to boil water, you know, extra, redundancy.
Yeah.
You know, if I want to cook food, I could cook a stew in it from the woods or something.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that with the Nalgene container too, but I'd rather have, I mean, it's just easier with a pot.
Which, and I just want to add this in, cooking a stew or a soup out of the meat and everything you find is probably the most efficient way to get all the nutrients.
Oh, yeah.
Because it traps everything. You can drink the broth afterwards and it works out better.
Absolutely. And then you can throw in wild greens you find around and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, next up would be...
Cordage.
Absolutely. Good call. I was trying to decide which one I wanted to go next, but yeah, definitely cordage.
See, cordage would have been my number two before the container.
But for the water, I put it higher. Not I mean, it. Just for the ability to collect and boil water, making a container out of the woods is harder than making cordage.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather have cordage if it's available.
Yeah, and by cordage we mean like anything you can make, like ropes or cable or any freaking thing like that. You need stuff to tie stuff together, tie stuff up with, tie stuff out of.
Yeah. I mean, there's a thousand and billion one ways to use cordage in the woods. This is where the survival world tends to diverge and split. Years ago, paracord was the set standard. If you had a bug out bag, you had to carry, you know, a couple hanks of paracord in it. Carry paracord on your person. I've got a bracelet on right now.
I am pissed off about my bug out bag right now. It's missing stuff.
We'll look at it later.
Including its handle, though, which was made entirely out of almost
paracord.
Almost 500 yards of paracord.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made the entire shoulder strap out of my thing out of braided paracord.
Yeah. And then now, sort of, there's a couple different factors. So, I carry some paracord, and I also carry a big hank of tarred bank line, which I think I gave you a roll of, possibly.
Yeah, you did.
The thin black line.
Yeah.
It's not quite as strong as paracord.
Mm-hmm.
You get usually more of it, like, God, it's... That was a couple hundred feet, I think. It's about 150 pounds test.
Mm-hmm.
The inner strands split to be a bit finer for making things like snares and traps.
Right.
At this point, I usually carry a little bit of paracord for things that I need, and then I carry just a roll of tarred bank line. I carry them both.
I'll carry the paracord, and in my bug out bag, I have the paracord, I have the tarred bank line. I also keep a big spool of fishing line.
Yeah, which is also good to have in there for, I mean, you can use the inner strands of paracord or bank line to make fishing line, but fishing line is better at being fishing line than they are.
I mean, basically, for a while there, I was just throwing any extra thing that I had that could be turned into cordage into my bug out bag. I mean,
yeah.
Like, for a while, I was replacing my shoelaces with 550 paracord.
Right, which is good.
My shoelaces, threw them in the bug out bag, just in case.
Yeah, I mean, extra cordage.
Just in case I ever needed to use the paracord out of my shoes, I could still have my laces. Or hell, if I needed to use the laces for something.
Yeah, well, actually, you know what? I actually really like to replace some of my shoestrings with just regular, plain, cotton shoestrings. Not like, a lot of shoestrings you get are like synthetic, like polyurethane, and they'll melt when you burn them.
Yeah, they're essentially plastic.
However, if you use all cotton shoestrings, you can make a wick out of them and make candles.
See?
So, I like to have, like, yeah, obviously, you know, if you have a cotton shirt or a cotton bandana, you can make a wick out of that as well. Which brings us to our next thing. Oh, and I've also seen some people just use, like, there's one guy on YouTube, Dave something, I think. He'll carry just fucking, like, rope with him. Like, you know, hikes of, you know, hanks of, like, you know, climbing rope and stuff. And he'll do some crazy shelters out of it.
I'm not the Charlie Bronson wannabe, rope-toting wannabe that's getting us fucking lost.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him, like, build crazy, like, hammocks and, like, beds above the ground and all sorts of stuff. We're going to heal that later today. That
fucking hurts.
Mike's got some kind of spider bite or insect bite on his shoulder that's possibly, it's probably a
bomb. I accidentally scratched the head off it off earlier.
Well, you're going to lose the arm if they amputate it.
Yeah, I know. I've got another one.
So, cutting, container, cordage. Any guess what number 4 is?
My mind just went blank. Couch potatoes.
Cloth.
Oh, yeah, cloth.
So, basically it's a bandana. Your bandana in the woods is ridiculously important. I may or may not have included a bandana in your kit. If not, I should have.
No, you did.
Yeah. Exactly. You can use it to collect, like, so when you walk around in the morning time, there's dew on all the plants and vegetation on the ground. If you tie it around your foot, you can collect water and then wring it out in your mouth. That's drinkable water.
Huh, I never even thought about that.
Exactly. So a lot of the people suggest that, like, you, as a backup, because it's so tiny, you throw a condom or a few in your survival kit.
Huh.
And I and Cody Lundin and several others suggest that if you're going to throw a condom in there for survival uses, not for having sex, you get the biggest. So you buy a Magnum. You throw a Magnum in there because it's the biggest condom you can get.
Well, I'd have to buy
those. Non-lubricated, anyway. Non-spermicidal. So you get, like, a plain non-lubricated Magnum condom. What you can do with that is you can fill it up with water from a stream or a lake. But, you know, it'll hold a lot of fucking water, but it's a little, it can a little bust. So you take your your bandana, you put around it to give it extra strength so it supports itself.
It's amazing the survival implications you can, of a condom.
Yes.
Basically. You can use condoms for a lot of different shit.
I have some, like, green plain bandanas, and I've got possibly, I think, some orange ones that are fairly big, like damn near flag-sized.
Mm-hmm.
That you can put around your head. And an orange bandana can use as a signal that can be seen miles away for rescue, to effect rescue. I mean, if you look on the internet, there's blog posts with up to like 1,000 uses for bandanas. Bandanas are really so important for survival. I mean, for filtering stuff, carry a fucking bandana or a few. They're tiny, they take up no space. You can wear them on your person. They make survival bandanas with survival information printed on it.
Oh.
Yeah, and once again, I'll go back to Dave Canterbury on this. If you're going to carry a survival bandana, make sure it's a 100% cotton bandana.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go with a synthetic, like, polyester or whatever synthetic material, because you can cut off pieces of your cotton bandana and make char cloth out of it to make making fire easier. So we've got cutting, we've got container, we've got cordage, we've got cloth. Our next one is, what is it? It's, cover. So, cover. Mm-hmm. Dave likes to carry wool blankets with him. 100% wool virgin blankets. They are expensive. They have good benefits. I mean, wool retains 80% of its insulative value even when wet, which is why I was laughing at you when you didn't want to jump on your trampoline the other day in your wool socks, because you wouldn't have even noticed in the wool socks, really. Your feet would stay 80% as warm and dry.
I'd have noticed.
You're a weirdo.
I've got sensitive feet.
No, you bitch. So, yeah.
I'll stab you with
wool blanket
a thumbtack.
Roll. On top of, so, you know, or like a sleeping bag or something, and along with that, you want to carry like a tarp or some sort of bivy sack, something to cover yourself from the elements. So your blanket material and your cover concealment material to stay out of the elements. Tarps, bivy sacks, small one person tents. I've got a one person tent. It's tiny. It takes up almost no room. There's not a lot of. I mean, literally, you climb inside of it to go to sleep. That's it. It's the whole room that you have in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. You stay nice and warm in it. So those, I build every single bug out bag with those 5 core philosophies.
What are the other C's?
Yeah, like, so and I forget how he phrases it, but there's like, I don't know how he spells it to be right, but there's like tape.
Tape.
Yeah, you carry like tape with you
adhesive.
To like.
I'm trying to work that into a scene.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, bear with me for a moment while I look up the 10 C's of survival. I know he likes to carry cloth cells to repair equipment, as cloth cell needle. So a needle. Let's run through this. The first fives of survival.
Cutting tool.
Combustion.
Skipped combustion.
I did skip combustion. So that's, I carry lighters. I carry, fire pistons. I carry, magnesium bars, fire steels. I don't carry them all at the same time, but I usually carry a variation of them.
Yeah, I try to keep as many different ways of making fire in my bug out bag as possible. Yeah. Fire is fucking so important. Yeah.
I mean, just carry, lighters on your person at all time. That's a big one.
Yeah, so we got cutting tools, combustion, cover, container, cordage, and what are the second five C's?
Candle, which doesn't actually mean candle, but means an illumination device. So a headlamp, a flashlight, a candle, a lantern. So that's a good second set. Cotton. It's no weight, space, burden to see cotton cloth or bandanas.
Yeah, we just talked about that. Compass.
Yeah. Which is, finding yourself in the wilderness. GPS. So whatever you use to find your way out.
Cargo tape.
That's what an interesting way to phrase that. And then number 10, canvas needle, also a cell needle. Can be used to repair your equipment, pick out splinters, whatnot.
It makes a lot of sense, but apparently it's just not good enough for the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, those dumb motherfuckers. And with that, you can carry a very small kit that hits all your major needs. And Dave, I recommend having at least a small first aid kit. Dave thinks the cargo tape can basically patch up everything he needs to do in the woods.
Wow.
Because he's like, I just want to patch me up and get out of the woods. I carry some more survival first aid things, as well as, just having sort of like convenience survival first aid things, like aspirin and, Tylenol and allergy medicines. I mean, that could save a life.
Fuck yeah.
And we've done whole episodes on first aid, so listen to that. I carry a sewing kit, but I'm not big on the sail needle. I'm not. This is not me. Compass, definitely. I have a few compasses on my bug out bags, on my person, apps on my phone to use a compass. In case everything else fails. Those are my key things. I used to, like I said, I started out with a high school backpack. I moved on to a large Alice pack, military pack, and then I have a sort of 3-day assault pack in the Marine Marpart pattern of camo that I use now. And I'm sort of leaning more towards just civilian hiking packs now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think my next bug out bag purchase will be a hiking pack, and I'll gift you maybe my Alice pack, so that you can upgrade. You'll have more room than this. You have shoulder straps. You can actually carry it like that.
Well, yeah. Currently, my bug out bag, and I want to talk a little bit about it, because I've got some interesting stuff in here. My current bug out bag is actually a sports bag, something like you'd take to the gym with you.
Yeah.
And the reason I chose this bag, right off the bat, it's pretty damn roomy. It's got a lot of interior space. Plus, it's got a pocket on either end, which are very roomy. And I love this feature about mine, and I'd like to show this to you. It's got this third pocket right in the front that unzips. It's designed for, like, putting wet gym shoes and stuff in. It's completely lined and waterproof down here. So if you have, like, wet bandana, wet clothing, or anything like that, you can stuff it underneath there. Or anything you want to keep dry, you can stuff underneath there, too.
I wonder how waterproof it is. Like, could you use it to collect water? Do you think? Could you carry water in it?
I wouldn't trust the zipper on it.
I don't mean for long distance, like scoop up water and carry it back to your campsite.
Possibly, yeah. But let's, now, normally, and like I said, some of my shit's missing, Normally, I have a shoulder strap on this, which it does have a pad on it, but it's made out of almost, I think, like 1,000 feet of paracord, 550 cord,
right,
with a carabiner on either end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, actual carabiners. Normally, in this one pocket on the end is where I keep my canteen with the canteen cup.
Which is an old military-style canteen.
Yeah, you can't beat those. You just fucking can't.
And the canteen cup is what I included in there so that you can boil water in. That's so, your container.
Yeah, there's your container. I also keep a selection of military-grade MREs. I currently have 5 in there. I did have more, but I think I gave you one and I tried one out.
The, what, biscuits and gravy one that I've never had that you said was amazing?
Oh, yeah, the sausage gravy. Oh, good. Dude, I could fucking live on those things.
Wow.
I keep a good set of binoculars in here. Because, I mean, if you're trying to find your way out of stuff, you need to be able to see far ways. Now, most of the stuff I have in my bag is in several little Ziploc bags that I just
good
have
idea,
sectioned
yeah.
off. Now, this is a little toolkit of sorts. And in this toolkit is just a few weird little tools, multi-purpose tools that I've developed over the year. Like, I have this little weird wrench that has several different sizes on it. This actually came from a wheelchair, believe it or not.
Hmm.
Now, I have
fishing
hooks.
Yeah.
I have another one weird little wrench in here. It's where I keep all my metal stuff, actually.
Tweezers.
Yeah, tweezers. Let me see. Oh, yeah, my sinkers for fishing. And I throw in paper clips. Because, I mean, paper clips can be unbent, used as wire, can pry into stuff, all sorts of things. You can find a bunch of different uses for paper clips. Now, that is just my metal. This is my little toolkit. Now, I also have a knife, fork, and spoon combo here.
Yeah.
My little mess kit. This is something I added recently. My wife actually got this for me. An oral care kit. Comes with, I mean, this is kind of a luxury thing, but it comes with a toothbrush, a dental, one of the metal picks. Comes with a mirror, which can be used for signaling.
Yeah.
And it comes with a tongue scraper, which can be used for scraping your tongue. What is this? Oh, yeah, that's the label off the bandana that you gave me, which is down in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, this one is kind of a hodgepodge. Actually, this is my fire starting kit. I don't know how my duct tapes.
Your bright orange duct tape that you use for singling.
Yeah, my bright orange duct tape, which is not still on its original roll, which can take up even more space. A length of it is wrapped around a Walmart gift card.
Yeah.
Plus, I have the fire starting stuff that you gave me.
Oh, yeah, the fuel tabs.
I have a cotton tender.
Yep.
I have this.
Your Esbit fuel stove.
Yep, Esbit fuel stove. Okay, I think that's all. I did have some lighters in here, but I started smoking a while back and wound up taking those out. I need to replace those. Then, in this bag by itself, I have my headlamp. Ow. I just got stabbed by something.
Huh.
Okay. Now, in this one, in this bag.
Super glue.
Took a couple of little things of crazy glue. I have one of those miniature pocket sewing kits
with a needle hanging out of it. Look at the bottom; it's almost in your finger. Your finger down there, right there. Look at.
Oh, that's probably what stabbed me a minute ago. I actually added a bunch of extra needles into this kit. I have this Altoid kit, this Altoid can, which right now I basically use glasses repair. I wear glasses.
Right.
So I want to be able to repair those things if anything happens to them. Remember the shoelaces I was talking about earlier?
Yep.
Have those in there. And this is a hodgepodge bag. Another little glass container. It's just a tiny little thing, but you never know what you'd be able to use it for.
You should find iodine crystals and fill it with iodine crystals for water purification.
Funny, it's you fucking said that because I was honestly thinking about doing iodine crystals in here. But hold on, I'm not done. Let's take the stuff out that I've already looked through. I'm going to have to pick that up.
Yep.
All right. Let me see here. The knife you gave me. What kind of knife is this again?
It's a Mora knife.
Yep, Mora knife. Let's see. Then I have a collapsible multi-tool.
Which needs to be upgraded at some point. I sharpened it a little bit for you, but remember in the 127 Hours movie, a cheap multi-tool is a bad multi-tool.
Yeah. Okay, and let's see. In this bag, I have my Mylar sheet,
right.
My bandana, and a hooded poncho.
Right.
I actually have two ponchos in here.
I was going to say, that Mylar sheet is a Heat Sheets brand sheet that can be used for signaling because it's bright, reflective orange.
Okay. And this is a better poncho.
A much better poncho.
Yeah, a heavier duty poncho. That's an empty bag.
Probably held your cocaine okay. in it.
Normally, yeah. I'm out of cocaine right now. Now, normally, and for some reason, it's not in the damn bag right now, I keep a much larger knife that we've actually reviewed on the show in a previous episode, which is right here because I'm blind.
Ah.
My Sheffield Rogue.
As everything falls to the ground?
Yeah, just start throwing shit back in the bag, dude.
Oh, your Mora knife came out of its sheath.
Yeah, now this thing, okay, now this Sheffield Rogue, it looks like something that a fucking Crocodile Dundee would whip out at you. It does have a saw blade on it.
I don't know where it's at.
And the awesome thing about this is it came with a flint stick for making sparks.
Right.
It also came with a sharpening rod. Both can be used as signal whistles.
Nice.
Yeah, so I love multi-purpose stuff. I mean, if you can find things that you can use for multi-purpose, they're ideal for throwing in your bug-out bag. Where's the sheath?
I don't know. I'm just going to hold it and let you put everything up until we find it.
All right, we'll just shoving stuff back in here. Yeah, we didn't mention the MREs, and they're not like a necessary thing, but I like having food available, especially food that's in waterproof containers.
Yeah.
Whose expiration dates are way, way the fuck in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, and then this pocket, on the end, I have reserved for one purpose and one purpose only. First aid.
Excellent.
And I have a very nice, I do have a lighter in there. Yep. Sweet. Okay. And in my first aid kit is actually a bunch of stuff. I have a bottle of allergy pills.
Yeah.
It's basically, I know. We have hand sanitizer, which I recently refilled. A&D cream, which is good for rashes and stuff like that. I have gauze. I have triple antibiotic ointment.
The iodine?
That is the iodine. Oh. I have a selection of Band-Aids. And, let's see. And, just in case, just because I found them and I wanted to put them in there, I also have rubber gloves, wet wipes. I have a full not a large bore needle, but I have a syringe in there and a scalpel.
Nice.
Because you just never fucking know.
Yeah. First aid is a path.
Oh, yeah, I got to put that stuff back in there. But, I mean, this is just, and that's not everything that I keep in there. Like I said, I can also throw my machete in there and my canteen. I got to find that damn thing.
Right.
I also got to find the sheath of my knife. But, yeah, I mean, that's just... And this is coming from a couch potato, keep in mind. This is coming from me.
I figured out he was sort of a closet survival fanatic, so I gave him the gift of survival, and he took it and ran with it.
Yeah, keep in mind, this is not the original bug-out bag he gave me.
I gave him a military butt pack, and then he upgraded to a much larger pack, and then started upgrading. You know, all the stuff I gave him is still the original stuff. The Mylar blanket, you know, some other stuff, but...
Like the fucking
he's upgrading a lot of
this damn knife that has fucking vanished off the face of the fucking planet.
We'll look for it later.
Ugh, that's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it fell down. It's got to be underneath the seat or something somewhere.
It had to go fucking somewhere.
As usual, we have ran long, so I'm going to say let's go ahead and wrap this bee up. We're over an hour.
Alrighty, well, so what about the Paleo Simplified Energy Bars?
We will talk about another time.
Alrighty, well... Now, if you want to talk about stuff on our show and you want to sell those things you want to talk about, drop a line over at james@survivalpunk.com where he can hit you up with a bunch of – we take a bunch of different forms of payment. You want to advertise, you know where to go. Survival Punk Army wants you.
We do want you. We've got exclusive discounts to vendors on the interwebs. I've got brain fart. That's what I've got. We've got the podcast available to download in convenient zip files of 10 episodes. It's awesome. It supports the show. It lets us keep doing the things that we're doing and pay for the bills around the podcast. Support it if you want. If not, then I'll come punch you in the face.
Yes. So just find a little link because the Survival Punk Army wants you. Well, once again, we've had another award-winning episode.
Yes.
Love this show.
The bestest. Our two fans out there are demanding episodes.
Yeah, they're demanding episodes, but you demand them fucking nicely, okay?
Or you once again will get punched in the face.
Keep in mind, yeah, the show is free to you, but he spends gas getting out here and this nice laptop and the microphone that doesn't work and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I piss off my entire family by making them shut up for an hour.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, just deal with it. Alrighty. Well, I think that's going to just about do it for us here at the Survival Punk Podcast. This is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James, Survival Punk Bernetsky.
And just keep in mind, when you bug out, take your damn bag with you.
DIY to bug out.
Use guys.